No one would have believed, in the early part of the 21st century, that eyes more beady than our own were looking into our garden greedily at the birds therein, the pigeons, the house sparrows, the robins that were eating the food. These eyes desired them. These creatures were going to invade. This was to be the war of the starlings.
Hello, and you're listening to Bird Pod, the weekly bird watching podcast, written and presented by me, Neil Baxter. If you want more information about Bird Pod, check out the official Bird Pod website at www.birdpod.webs.com. And welcome to another edition of Bird Pod. In case you're wondering what the heck all that was about, well, it's about starlings invading. Just to let you know, I think I may have mentioned before that I had a visitor in my garden recently, a starling, and then a couple of them. Now, this, you know, someone might say, well, so what, they're not uncommon. To my garden, they are, and the area where I live, they are. I very often see them around the local supermarket, Asda in Wigan. Also at Horwich nearby, the supermarket at the Tesco there. The Asda, there again, sorry. Yeah, loads of the birds there again. I think someone told me this was because they have a lot of low-level shrubs and small trees there, which they prefer for roosting in. But, yeah, as I said, don't see many starlings in my area until now. They seem to be coming more and more. These birds are actually on the red status, more of that in a bit. Saying that the numbers have declined quite a lot. So to see one in my garden was a pure joy. I think they're brilliant-looking birds. And then to see more than them coming, and then there's five of them. So it's just me being silly, really, saying I'm being invaded. The other birds don't seem to mind them. Anyway, more about the starling in a minute. I think, firstly, we'd better get on with that old favourite, the artificial bird of the week. Before we do, just to say, you can find more about these soft toys with authentic bird noises linked from my site, which is www.birdpod.webs.com. Anyway, enough talk. Here is the artificial bird of the week, which is the albatross. Whoa, no, sorry. That was Albatross by Fleetwood Mac. Let's try that again, shall we? So, without further ado, the artificial bird of the week for this week is the albatross. Oh, is that it? I'll try again. Yeah, no doubt it is authentic. It's just not as a... not as good as the blackbird, but still good. Still good. Anyway, yep, I'll tell you what, let's just get on with it. Couple of bird jokes. So, speaking of blackbirds, yeah, this blackbird goes to a farm and he just lands there and this chicken comes out, says, all right. Blackbird says, yeah, not bad. Chicken says, I'm clever. Blackbird says, oh, you're clever, are you? Yeah. Said, you're not as clever as me. I said, oh, I beg to differ, says the chicken. The blackbird says, well, hey, do you think you're cleverer than me? Well, I just am, says the chicken. I mean, look at you just flapping about and just singing and doing nothing, whereas me, Blackbird says, well, just put it this way, I think I'm cleverer because, tell you what, I've never heard of a Kentucky Fried Blackbird, have you? Yeah, KFC joke, terrible. Okay, well, there's this lady, she bought this parrot, she's had the parrot for 16 years, and the parrot, she feeds it, talks with Joey, come on, Joey. The parrot never uttered a word in all that time. And then one day, she handed it some lettuce. And the parrot turns around and goes, oh, there's a maggot on it. She says, oh, Joey, she says, all this time, she says, you could talk, you've never spoken before. Why? And the parrot said, well, the food's been good up until now. I said, I know that's rotten, but I mean, my parrot voice. Did you notice the parrot voice and the elderly lady? They said, Right, shall we do bird in news next, I think. News stories which I have found on the internet, which I found particularly of interest. This one is from journallive.co.uk and mentions my favourite bird again, the blackbird. Blackbird makes nest in engine of council van, this May the 16th. A blackbird has left care workers in a flap after making its nest in a council van. Care services staff at Durham County Council's Easington site found the bird in the engine compartment of one of their vehicles after the van had been left standing over the weekend. Mobile warden Gillian Lowry described the nest when she checked the vehicle's... Mobile warden Gillian Lowry discovered the nest, I'm sure she described it as well, when she checked the vehicle's oil and water. She said, the area is normally quite busy, so we were quite surprised that the bird chose to make its nest in the van. We don't think we've disturbed the nest, as we see the blackbird returning often to the vehicle and reaching the nest through the wheel arch. As nesting birds are protected under the Wildlife and Countryside Act, the nest cannot now be removed until the eggs hatch, which should be in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Durham County Council Care Services provides round-the-clock care to elderly and vulnerable people living in East Durham. The service has 4 vehicles and now has loaned a replacement van until the birds are fledged. Good stuff, I like that story. That is one of a few that's on the internet at the moment, actually. There was one about, again, a blackbird that laid eggs in a JCB and they were going to wait until the eggs hatched, etc. So, not uncommon, but a nice little tale. This one, I thought, well, we'll go across the water. This is an American one. This is from, what's the site? DallasNews.com. I don't know whether you class this as extreme twitching or not, but I found it to be an interesting story from the 16th of the 5th again. Pecking order. 5-day contest draws serious birders. The three teammates rolled slowly in their silver SUV, bantering as they scanned the tilled field, binoculars at the ready. Oh yes, you can tell this is going to be well written, not like the Daily Mirror. It's already got a good narrative style. Bob White, one member yelled. The driver hit the brakes. 3 sets of binoculars pointed outward, all business. The head swivelled and then, Upland Sandpiper, got it. Where? Oh, got it. Team member Tom Roberts scribbled into his palm-sized notebook. The SUV made a U-turn and they were off. It's exciting, isn't it? Welcome to competitive birdwatching. Millions of people go birding every year, but these guys are a different breed. One that competes in an exhausting birdathon designed to separate the hawks from the sparrows. The contest held each spring as part of the Great Texas Birding Classic isn't the only birdwatching showdown in the nation, but it is the most grueling, with teams combing Texas's 624-mile tidewater coastline to see who can spot the most species in 5 days. Roberts, Bill Baker and Andy Dietrich slept just a few hours a night earlier this month, fueled by camaraderie and fast food as they pushed through Warbler's Neck, a cramp that comes from repeatedly tilting their heads skyward. The prize for their pursuit, bragging rights, a £65 bronze trophy shaped like an egret, and the chance to award £10,000 to a conservation project. Not everyone can go many, many days in a row with just 4 or 5 hours of sleep. It does take a certain kind of person, said Baker, who noted that even wimps could do the more popular 24-hour contest. I like the push of competition, and it really has made for a much better birder. Bird watching is an enormously popular hobby in the United States, and not just for people with backyard feeders. Some 19.9 million Americans took birding trips in 2006, according to the most recent report by the US Fish and Wildlife Service. Many birders keep lists for themselves or to seek a place in the American Birding Association's annual publication of top lists. But competitions such as the Classic and the World Series of Birding held in New Jersey last weekend are different. They pit birders, the competitors, are mostly men and often sponsored, against one another for a set time in a particular location. In the Texas contest, which is in its 13th year and is sponsored by the Gulf Coast Bird Observatory, birders list as many species as they can see or hear. Chirping alone, if all three teammates agree on the species, is enough to add it to their list, making nocturnal birds fair game. Nests and eggs don't count. Using feed is a no-no, and the birds must be alive and unrestrained, meaning don't bother going to any zoo. Competitors' list were, when they saw the bird, any unusual sightings must be documented with field notes, explanations on the lighting and location, and whether a field guide was used. Judges check the competitors' lists against known habitats and traits, and can throw out a listing if it lacks credibility, lowering the total count and making your blood boil, Roberts said. The lists are done on an honour system, but for people fastidious enough to differentiate closely related species by small marks beneath their beaks or the particular swimming light motion of wing flaps, cheating is out of the question. If you lose your credibility, how are you going to compete? And for what? Said Baker. He's the founder of the RRI Energy Team that just took its fifth consecutive victory with 288 species in a contest played by torrential rains. Baker's team hasn't always been the one to beat. When he started 13 years ago, they came in dead last. They got a rookie cup, which Baker is pretty sure they were given, so they wouldn't be discouraged from trying again. This year, the team included Roberts, now in his ninth year of tracking from his home in Pennsylvania, to co-pilot a team with Baker, and newcomer Dietrich. All three work for power generator RRI Energy Inc., which also sponsors them. For years, Baker, a biologist, was improving his birding skills, but the competition fueled his passion. It really burned him when a team of students from Cornell University, home of a renowned ornithology lab, home of a renowned ornithology lab, that's better, took the trophy one year. The travelling trophy bears an engraving for each winner, like the Stanley Cup. Roberts noted, and stays with the champion for a year after the win. These kids, they took this big, beautiful trophy. I'm an older guy and I didn't like that, said Baker, a 56-year-old Texan. They just made us look bad and I took offence at that. It's like, remember the Alamo. Oof, yeah, whatever. Baker's team got its first victory by beating a Cornell-sponsored team. 331 birds to 330. Ooh, close. It felt so good for these little whippersnappers to get a taste of that, he said. Yeah, well, they like gloating. Carry on. The key to winning, he said, is scouting ahead of time and planning a good route. He spends about 10 days before the competition looking for certain species. You don't have to be the best birder. You have to be the best manager of time, the best scouter, and you need a little luck, Baker said. A lot of luck, Roberts interjected. That's why they keep a packet of Nutter Butter cookies on the dashboard. Baker said over the years, they've found that when they struggle to find birds, eating a packet or just keeping the cookies on the dash turns their luck. They've become a kind of charm. Can't explain it, Baker said. It's not that we like these cookies that much, it's just that they work. Yep. Not really my cup of tea, all that, but I found it interesting because, you know, thinking if I could go and mooch about and look for some birds, if I could get paid for it, that'd be great. But I can hardly ring in sick to work and say, sorry, boss, can't come in today. You know, and then you do all that business, and in the background, somebody shouts you, whoa, hey, look at this, golden oriole. So, pardon, what's that? I'm just a doctor surgery that's... It's a doctor, golden oriole. Yeah, he's Spanish, I think. No, it wouldn't work. Wouldn't fool him. So that's birding news for this week. Starlings, as I said, have been invaded. Well, five of them. But I just think they're great birds to see. I just love the colours on them. You know, it is like looking at a starry background, the night sky. There's a lot to see, you know, with the iridescent colours. I think it's just amazing to see them. You know, they do remind me of chavs, I have to say. You see them hanging about a supermarket. They're sort of very cocky. They shoulder their way in, push one another about. I can just imagine them saying, hey, having that one and sorted and, you know, getting on a mobile and texting one another. Never seen one drinking White Lightning cider yet, though. But no, I think they're great looking birds. I don't know how anybody could own one, I would never know. But let us carry on. So yeah, I'm going on about the sterling and why I like them. And the sound they make as well. Obviously, let's press, I think we played it once before, but let's see if we can hear this. Yeah, so that's some of the sounds they make, but let's have a look on the RSPB website. There we go. This is what the RSPB website says about the Stirling. So let's have the sounds again in the background just for effect. So the Stirling, Latin name Sternus vulgaris, smaller than blackbirds with a short tail, pointed head, triangular wings, Stirlings look black at a distance, but when seen closer, they are very glossy with a sheen of purples and greens. Their flight is fast and direct, and they walk and run confidently on the ground. Noisy and gregarious, Stirlings spend a lot of the year in flocks. Still one of the commonest of garden birds, its decline elsewhere makes it a red list species. Yeah, as to the wings and the flapping, a couple of them on my feed. I'll tell you, you know, anyone who's scared of birds, I could see why with these, because the wings are flapping away and really grip with the claws. It's amazing to see, but if I had all that birds, I'd all like the wings flapping. Ooh, they scare me. Well, don't look at a Stirling. Nope. You know, just look at a duck. Duck on the water, my word, you're safer. But I think these are amazing. Did I say I thought these were amazing? I think I've said it again. Okay, so where to see them? Conspicuous and widespread in the UK, occurring everywhere except for the highest parts of the Scottish Highlands. They are most abundant in southern England and are more thinly distributed in upland areas with moorland. Still one of the UK's commonest garden birds, huge roosts are found in plantations, reed beds and city centres. When to see them? All year round. Large numbers arrive in autumn and spend the winter here. What they eat? Insects and fruit. Oh, it's my own fault. Oh, good grief. I've been putting out dried fruit, which I've soaked in water, and mealworms. Oh, terrible, terrible. I'm being invaded by birds, and it's my own fault. But, nah, rubbish, rubbish. All the other birds tolerate them, and there doesn't seem to be any problem. Nobody gets the nose shoved out. Because they ain't got noses. No, no one gets the beaks shoved out. Estimated numbers. UK breeding, 804,000. Yep. But they are seem to be in decline. There's a lot less than there were. Just bear with me. A bit more information on the Stirling from a cracking book, which I've got here, which I recommend to anybody. It's a great book for dipping into. The thing that makes me struggling like that then is because it's a big book. It's called Birds Britannica by Mark Cocker and Richard Mabey. It's fascinating. You can just pick it up, think of a bird, flick through. I mean, photos here. What have we got here of a swan? A child with a swan, mutual trust. Remarkable image of mutual trust that gives the lie to the old schoolyard adage. Beware of swans because they can break your arm with a single flap of their wings. So it gives you all the myths and stories and history behind animals. Okay, pause for 1 second while I find the page on the Stirlings. Okay, I found the page about the common Stirling, Sternus vulgaris. Yeah, it gives you all the various names and nicknames for it. Does it say Sheppy? Yeah, there it does. It's got for our neck of the woods, Sheppy. Shepster, Shebster, Shep, Stinker, S-H-I-T, legs. I'm not going to say that aloud, so I've not heard of that one before. Well, yeah, I've heard it in this book, but I've never heard anyone say it. So let's see, what does it say about this that I think is... Tell you about the song. See, Bernard Tucker, the master of succinct ornithological description, captured it beautifully when he called it a lively, rambling melody of throaty warbling, chirruping, clicking and gurgling sounds interspersed with musical whistles and pervaded by a peculiar creaky quality. Recent studies have revealed that the structure of Stirling songs becomes even more complex as its creator gets older and adds new motifs to his repertoire. Yeah, just trying to think as well about the bird doing impersonations. I've heard some miraculous ones, especially on YouTube, that they can imitate loads of different things, telephones, other animals, other birds, even people. What does it say here? The great mimics and owl hoots, buzzing, buzzards mewing, golden oriole and quail song, goose, pheasant, curlew, lapwing and chicken notes, beautifully incorporated. We even have bird watchers scanning the sky, blah, 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 blah. Cat, goat and frog sound alikes have been documented. That'd be freaky, that one, isn't it? You think that at all hours underneath it, bloody hell, it's just early. What was it, one Sunday documented? One bird perfectly imitated my mother's whistle, used to call her a mongrel dog. The poor animal spent most of the days responding to find no one there. Sexy wolf whistles from Aaron Boyce. Could do. Modern trim phones. How far back was this? Trim phones, go. The new phone of the 70s and 80s, I think, but... yep, telephones. What else have we got here? I am flicking through. A little bit about meeting them at one point. Let's not go into that. Think about the large number of starlings, as in the thousands. I'd love to see that. It's, well, how can I put it? I've been seeing midges, you know. You get loads and loads and loads of midges, and you look at them, a big swarm of them. I've seen videos of this on various wildlife programs, but I've not seen it for real, so to speak, which I think would be amazing, just to see a big black cloud and then those are starlings all coming into roost. And blimey, it was amazing to see on TV. What's this picture here? Starlings roost at Brighton's West Pier was the source of a natural spectacle every bit as beautiful as the town's architectural splendours. I'd just love to see thousands of birds doing that. What's this about numerous starlings in London? The gauntlet was finally thrown down to the starlings when the unthinkable happened. Good grief, what was the unthinkable? Let me think. It says their ultimate crime was landing in such flocks on the hands of Big Ben in 1949 that they stopped the clock. This, together with the noises and droppings, led to political concern with the lengthy discussions in Parliament. So, what else we got? Yep. The incoming birds were of locust proportions. Yeah, just seen swathes of starlings. What's the terminology for it? Is it a murmuration of starlings for a collection of them? You know, like a flock of seagulls or... an abundance of chavs, whatever. A huge gathering occurred at Wenderton Wood, not far from Stubmarsh in Kent, between the late 50s and 70s. Estimates ranges up to 1 to 2 million birds. Blimey. Flocks tended to alight in stubble, winter cereal fields or pastures before going into the wood and moved across them, apparently feeding like a rolling carpet, with birds at the back leapfrogging those at the front. Periodically, the whole lot would rise in noisy panic. Above the wood, as birds went into the roost, were the familiar smoke-like clouds of starlings swirling back and forth and giving that distinctive crackling hiss of a big starling flock, far less peaceful than is suggested by murmuration. Ah, there we are, I was right. Anyway, I'll leave it at that for the starling. I just thought that was very interesting. We've got far visiting, so and it's the fruit that's making them come in, is it? What will I do about it? Well, I'll keep putting more out. As I said, any bird is welcome in my garden. So the starlings can keep inviting the friends. So that's been another episode of Bird Pod. More information and the other episodes that you may want to hear. You never know. You could be desperate. You may visit the website, which is www.birdpod.webs.com. To finish with the artificial... Oh, it's disappointing. To finish with, let's give this button a press and we'll have the starling again.